Well, amen, amen. Come on, God is at work. He is moving. And if you are here in the building with us right now, welcome home. We are so glad to see you. And what a time. If you're online with us, we're glad that you're online with us right now as well. It is a time where it has literally been 6 months today since COVID caused us to adjust all of our lives. And we start a series today called Living Well, which is looking at what does that mean and look like according to God's word? What does it mean to have this flow, if you will, from our head to our hearts to our hands that is going to make a difference in our world? Some of you are ready to run back to church today, and we're so glad you are here. Others of you, you're going to walk back over the next few weeks, and we want to encourage you as you feel led. We're here. We would love to see you. Others of you are going to take a season to stay online, and we just want to encourage you, that's okay. Stay engaged. You know, if you come here, you'll notice my green sticker, right? And it kind of indicates what you're ready for. You know, the green means I'm ready for hugs and handshakes and that kind of thing. A yellow sticker would indicate that, hey, it's air high fives and air hugs. I don't even know how you do that, but I guess it's a thing. And then red means, hey, love you. If I'm under a mask, I might be smiling, but please keep your social distance. We want to be respectful of wherever you're at. But here's the question I want to ask you today, because regardless of where you're at with coming back or your sticker color, I want to ask you the question, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do something in your life? Because I really believe that this pandemic and this season of political instability and cultural unrest is positioning God's people to be who he wants us to be. Can I get an amen? Amen? God is doing something new, and he is moving in our world. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're here in person, we are still that church, that talk back church. So feel free to say amen under that mask and hallelujah and whatever that may be. And if you're online, we have live hosts. You can comment, and they are there for you as well. As we get going with this, I want you to think about, you know, this week in particular, a lot of our young families, right? It was getting kids ready to go back to school. And getting ready is something that takes a little bit of effort, takes a little bit of energy. I don't know about anybody else, but did you have that experience during COVID like I had, where you were either in a Zoom meeting in your shorts with a collared shirt and nobody knew, or somebody else was and they stood up and forgot they were on camera? Anybody else relate to that? That there's this reality that even I can remember when my kids, I came down the stairs one morning, this is a couple of months ago, and I had jeans and a collared shirt on, and my children looked at me and said, "Dad, why are you so dressed up? Where are you going?" You know, for them, they had got used to seeing Dad kind of dressed down. When we dress up, when we get ready for something, there's an anticipation, there's an excitement about whatever that event may be. You know, getting ready for something, like I can remember in athletics, getting ready for a competition, and you're maybe getting your head focused and your heart on fire, and you're just ready to go out and compete. I'll tell you, nothing, though, made me more nervous than getting ready for my wedding. Getting ready for my wedding to marry Cindy. We've been married almost 19 years. Amazing. God's grace, it'll be 19 in December. And I want to show you a few pictures and walk down memory lane for a minute if I can do that. And so here's a picture of us, of me getting ready. I'm actually here with my nephew, and I'm helping him with his bow tie. He's 30 now. I cannot believe this, right? And you can see, like, looking back, it's just such a good memory of getting ready behind the scenes for that wedding. The next picture is my wife, Cindy. She is a twin. Kathy is in this picture, her twin. They're getting ready as bridesmaids. Kathy is actually expecting my niece, Madison, in that picture. She just graduated. Y'all, we're getting older. All right, it's happening. But what a cool picture to see behind the scenes. Here's a moment of anticipation. If you see this next picture, here's Cindy getting ready to walk down the aisle. And I can remember that moment. They had warned me, right? They had said, hey, you're going to be so nervous when you see her come to that moment. Make sure you bend your knees and breathe, right? Because, like, you may fall out. And I got to tell you, my knees were shaking as she looked up at me in that moment. And I know for her, there was just such a joy and anticipation. After the ceremony, here's her picture of us walking out. Here's us walking out. You can see, you can see kind of the joy, the excitement. I've aged a little bit, right? There's a few extra pounds on this guy, you know. Four kids and planting a church will do that to you. So here's us, and this is the one I wanted to pause on for a second. This is the picture of us walking in to the reception. We had got ready, we had experienced the ceremony, and now we're walking in to the reception. Just so excited to celebrate with our friends and our family. I can remember that moment. And I want to pause here and I want to ask you a question. What would it have been like for us in that moment if we looked up and we suddenly saw a room that wasn't ready? A people that weren't celebrating, a people that were not even maybe in the room, had forgot what their job was. Can you imagine if the food wasn't ready, if the music wasn't prepared, if the dance floor and the tables weren't where they were supposed to be? Can you imagine the disappointment and what that would have been like? Turn with me to Matthew 25. And as we look at these scriptures today, I want to read to you a text that has to do with us getting ready. Getting ready for what Jesus has and who he wants us to be. It says this, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" Let me pray for us and ask God to bless his word today as we get into this. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that even in a season like this that has been so strange and different, you are at work. And that, Jesus, we can anticipate your return one day. Father, I pray today that you would continue to move on our hearts through your word to get us ready, that we would be faithful to be the people that live well in anticipation, joyful anticipation of your return. Jesus, speak through your word. Holy Spirit, continue to be with us and have your way. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So here's what we see and what we're going to unpack here. Is in this text, there's a few surprises that are unfolding. Some things that the listener and the reader in that first century would have grabbed and understood. One of the keys for us is to understand how much bigger a life with Jesus is meant to be. That in fact, as Tom Nelson, an author and pastor, says, he said, Jesus came not only to save us from our lives of sin, but also to save us for lives of flourishing and fruitfulness. That Jesus came that we wouldn't just receive salvation, but we would live in light of it. That we would be faithful and fruitful people that would steward our lives well. In this text, the bridesmaids symbolize his church. There were 10 of them mentioned, 5 wise, 5 foolish, and they had a job to do. You see, they were to be party ready. Some of you are like, what? Wait, what? No, these bridesmaids were to be party ready. You see, in that day and age, a wedding celebration would have been a moment where as the groom arrived, the bridesmaids would actually be lining almost like, you know, when we leave a wedding and the rice is thrown or, you know, those kind of things. What they would be doing is almost like a tunnel where there's lights, torches. And those would be lit with oil, and they would be ushering in the groom, not just for a moment of celebration to get to the honeymoon, okay? Like, it's okay, all right? Like, weddings lead to a honeymoon, and that's got something God blesses, all right? And so it's not just, in that day and age, it wasn't that they would leave that night. In fact, their celebrations, their parties would last a week, 10, 14 days even, of celebrating with friends and family. And so the job that the bridesmaid had was so important because that light that they were lighting, if you will, was to usher in that celebration. Can you see what that might mean for us? You see, Jesus in one text said that we are the salt and the light. He has given us a job to do. And in this text, we see a couple of surprises that are unfolding. Let me go back to verses 1-5 and read it to you. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. They fell asleep out of drowsiness due to delay. And we're going to talk about timing today and what does it mean to trust God with his timing. But the first point I want to make here is that getting ready takes wisdom and work. That actually wisdom and work, and if you want to understand work as an act of stewardship, That part of following Jesus is to have a faithful and fruitful life, which means we need wisdom, and we also need to expect there's some work to do. There's some things that God wants to do in and through our lives to make a difference. And the reality is, as we learn in this text, looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. We can look the part. We can look like we have everything all together. These bridesmaids were ready to run and to be there, but they didn't have any oil. They weren't prepared. You see, the oil actually would have lit the torch for about 15 minutes on average. And so if you didn't have an extra supply, an extra ready, it was a really short moment. And getting ready means that we realize, God, we need your wisdom. We don't want to be deceiving. We want to be a people that are authentic and real and have that readiness that comes by understanding what stewardship means. So here's what it means and how we define stewardship. In the handbook to Bible study, it says this, as stewardship is defined as created by God, human beings are responsible to God in everything he has entrusted to them. This is especially true of those who are saved by grace and have been given the privilege of managing spiritual gifts, places of service, and material goods as entrustments from a wise heavenly Father. All such activity is to be done in such a way as to glorify the bestower or to glorify God, if you want to translate that into modern language. And so let me ask you this. How are you stewarding the life that God has given you? What are you doing with the time and the talent and the gifts and the treasure that he's given you? It would be easy, wouldn't it, to be like they were. Well, God, it's a weird season. Things are delayed. We're waiting. Doors seem to be closed. We don't know what to do. And to almost fall asleep, to almost fall asleep in a drowsiness that misses the move of God. Is anybody still with me here? Come on online. Let us know that you're here and listening. Because I believe God is saying something to us. That in fact, he wants to wake us up. He wants to wake us up to understand who he is and that he has given us a job to do. You see, delay is not denial. Often delay is God allowing us to develop, to be positioned in the ways he wants us to be positioned. Head knowledge about God is different than wisdom from God. And this is what we see in this text, is they knew about the groom coming back. They knew about God, if you will. It's a parable that's instructive. And so we understand that they understood who God was. There was a head knowledge. But you see, that's different than actually knowing God and having wisdom from God. James 1:5 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What does it take to ask God for wisdom? It takes a trust, if you read on in that text, a faith, to not be double-minded, to say, God, I need wisdom. Now I'm going to go look to the world for it. But to look to God for wisdom. And it also takes a humility. None of us know how to handle times like these. We can learn from history some things, but we're in a time that, as many have said over and over again, is unprecedented. But we have the Spirit of God in us as believers. We have a God who is ready to help us get ready and to give us wisdom. Let me ask you the question, are you asking him for wisdom? There were wise bridesmaids and foolish. Let's read on in verse 6. It says, at midnight they were roused by the shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. If we're getting ready, the second point I want to make today is that crisis reveals character. That in fact, what we see here is a crisis unfolds. They don't have the oil. They know they need it. The ones with wisdom are saying, hey, we got ready. We're prepared. Sorry, there's not enough to go around. Go to the shop. So as they go to do that, the foolish ones realize, and we realize, there's a lack of character. That in fact, crisis reveals character. Think about the season we're in our country. How many crises we are facing as a people. How many crises maybe you've faced in the last few weeks or even months. What's it revealing about your character? What's it revealing about your trust in God and who he is in your life? Because when we're squeezed in a storm, when we're pressured with a crisis, it reveals who we are and what we really believe. So let me ask you the question again. What's coming out of you in this season? Are you living well under the pressure of this storm? We don't know how to respond right now. Right? We're not quite sure because we realize that there are moments that are full of wisdom, and there may be other moments where we can relate to those foolish bridesmaids. Where maybe what's coming out of us in words to another or in thoughts towards another. What's coming out of us in our social media and how we respond to the world around us may not be revealing the heart and character of God. This is a moment where I believe that God wants us to lean into him. Because as we learn here in this text, you can't borrow everything. In fact, they wanted to borrow oil from somebody else. How would this translate to our faith walk? Your walk with Jesus is lived out in community, but it's also very personal between you and him. that you can't rely on the faith of others. You can't rely on the faith of your parents or your grandparents or your auntie or your cousins. Faith has to be between you and the Lord. Something that you know him. You can't borrow it from others. I think just from a stewardship standpoint, the idea that we can't borrow everything is a principle to live by. We live in a country that is drowning in debt. And many of us are drowning in debt. And we need to embrace this idea of stewardship to realize that we can't borrow our way to happiness. We can't borrow our way to peace. We can't borrow our way to joy. We're going to find those things in a relationship with Jesus and through the fruit of the Spirit. We have a workshop coming up on October 3rd that our stewardship team has put together. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here in person or if you're online, sign up for our Living Well Stewardship Workshop. It's October 3rd at 10 a.m. It's an opportunity to learn more about biblical principles of finance and how to steward your way out of whatever mess or hole you might be in and how to live well. We want to equip you. We want to encourage you because we can't borrow everything as a principle. And our family, we're actively and aggressively working our way out of debt. And we're seeing God bless that. He can do it for you too. He can do it for you too. So crisis reveals character and asks the question of what are we doing with Jesus? Do we know him? Are we getting ready for his return and also for what he has for us today? In verse 10 through 13, the last section here says this, "But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return.'" Getting ready is something that we need to know God and we need to trust God's timing. And this is important in this season we've been in, isn't it? To actually know God, not to rely on other people's faith, but to know him and to trust his timing. You see, what was happening here was a closed door. And there will be an end for all of us. I'm sorry to be a downer right now, right, in that sense. But all of us are time-stamped. There is an expiration date. None of us know when. We don't know the day or the hour. And it may be that ours happens as Christ returns. And here's the deal. I just want to be completely open and honest. I have worked so hard in my life to try to be fully present that often I don't think about his return. And that's something over the last few years God continues to convict me of, because his people should be living in light of his return, living in light of eternity, living in light of a joyful anticipation that even when life looks crazy here on earth, we know one day he's going to return and make it all right. That could give us joy, that we want to see things fixed and made better here on earth. We want to see and pray for a little bit of heaven on earth, but we know until he returns, it won't all be the way it needs to be. And did you catch this? That in the end, there will be a closed door for those that don't know Jesus. That's sobering, isn't it? It really is. We've just gone through this. We've had doors closed to us. We've had doors closed to us in our country. Things that we were used to, things that we had come accustomed to. And as doors closed, we now all can relate to what that would feel like, to not be able to go in to that place we wanted to, whether it was church or work or a movie theater or a sporting event. We can relate to what that feels like. And I just wonder if part of what God wants to do in this season is to say to his people, hey, I want you to get ready. And part of your getting ready is to live well, to allow my love to flow through your head, through your heart, and out through your hands to the world around you. Because we don't want that door to close to people. We want as many to know him, amen? We want as many to know him. And so we trust his timing. And I wonder if time is an issue for any of us in this season. If we've somehow got a little bit drowsy, maybe a little bit lazy, maybe a little bit, well, I'll wait till this happens or I'll wait till this happens. And God is saying, my church needs to wake up. You need to wake up and redeem the time and use it to not wait or waste it. We're waiting on him, but we're using the time he's given us wisely. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here's the thing about time. It's irreplaceable. It's the most valuable commodity we have. You can replace money and possessions. You can always earn more and get more. But the one thing none of us can actually get more of is time. Time is irreplaceable. And so there should be a sense of thankfulness and gratitude and trusting God with the time he's given us and also stewarding it. And here's the thing alongside of time. In this passage, it's talked about this oil. And throughout Scripture, oil is often something that symbolizes the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is invaluable. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, the most valuable resource that Jesus gives us. And I just want to, like, sit in this for a minute as I finish and just allow us to realize what it means that Jesus died for us, that in his resurrection, with the curtain and the veil torn in two, he offers us access into the presence of God. That Scripture says, in fact, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Jesus that knows him has the Spirit of the living God. And so when we think about, like, are we ready to line the streets and light our torches and prepare for his return? It's not in our strength that we do these things. It's not our light. Because honestly, some of us are probably pretty dry, pretty weary, and pretty fatigued by a lot of emotions and things we've just walked through. Can I get a uh-huh? Like, yeah, I don't even want to say amen right now, Pastor, but you nailed it. I feel it, right? Like, it's there. Like, it's hard. And here's the thing. You don't have to manufacture it. The Holy Spirit inside of us, the oil, that light that's to be lighting up for the world around us to do the things he's called us to do, comes in and through him. So what do we need? We need more of the Holy Spirit, more of his presence. That's what I pray and hope he's awakening us to. That's a part of how we get ready, is to be with him. John chapter 14, three verses to finish here. In verses 16 through 18, Jesus laid it out like this. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus has come to us, and I believe he wants to come into our lives in greater ways in this season through his Holy Spirit. I believe he wants to turn up the light, turn up the heat in our relationship with him. He's getting ready to do something in each of our lives. He's getting ready to do a new thing in our world. And so I want to come back to that place I started. So are you ready? Not are you ready in an excited way, a passionate way yet, but are you ready to really say, I don't want to be one of the foolish bridesmaids or Christ followers. I want to be a wise one. I want to be one of those ones that say, God, give me wisdom. God, I trust you with the timing. God, I want you to squeeze out of me the fruit of the Spirit in this season. And Jesus, I need more of you and more of your Holy Spirit. Are you ready? I want to pray for us because we're going to get to respond right now to him. We're going to get to respond. And if you're online with us, wherever you're watching, wherever you're receiving this, this is a moment to say, first, do I know Jesus? And to say, let our host know, or let us here, if you're in person, know. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, we would love to pray with you, and we would love to help you with that. But some of you, you know about God, you know Jesus, but I believe he's offering you more of his Holy Spirit in this next season. To move from head to heart, to invite him in a new way. And yeah, it's going to be change, and it's going to be transformation, but come on, what hasn't changed in 2020? Let's let God do the changing. Amen? Amen. Let me pray over us, and then we're going to have a chance to respond by singing and celebrating and praying together. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to live well, to center our lives on you. So right now, Father, as we've talked about really knowing you, I just pray that if there's anybody that doesn't know you, that Jesus, they would receive the gift of salvation today, that they would confess with their mouth, believe with their heart, and that Spirit would give birth to Spirit. Father, for those of us that know you, but maybe have been squandering the time, we ask and cry out for wisdom and more of your Holy Spirit. Father, meet us in this moment. May your presence saturate us. We are ready for more of you. Have your way and give us the victory over everything that we're facing as we walk with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you're here and praise and worship him. If you need prayer, we'll be available after online. Let's worship him and invite the Holy Spirit in.